Good evening. And welcome to the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. If you're watching us on Facebook Live, Twitch, or YouTube, we want to thank you for being here. We appreciate it. And if you're watching us on the replay, thanks again. If you're listening to us on one of the podcast services, whether that be Audible or Amazon Music, Apple Podcast, Podcaster, whatever else we got out there. Spotify is another one everybody uses. So we want to thank you. Remember, always remember to, if you haven't before, subscribe to the podcast so you can always get updates when we're in there, because we appreciate you as well. If you want to send us an email, the email address is right there on your screen. But for those on the podcast, it's lee.bird, that's .byrd, .eaglesdare, at gmail.com. So, we had the Jets this weekend, and we're going to let the music play, but in a different way today. I got Rob McElhenney from the cast of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia with our Fly Eagles Fly.
Fly Eagles Fly on the road to victory. Fight Eagles Fight. Score a touchdown. 1, 2, 3. Hit them low. Hit them high. Watch our Eagles fly. Fly Eagles Fly on the road to victory. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagle!
he brings it home at the end right there, Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You ever watch that show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched the first couple seasons.
That's and then a crazy
show. Kind of tapered off a little bit. But yeah, I did see the first couple seasons of that.
Yeah, Birds fan in real life is Rob McElhenney, and he's a funny guy. He does a lot of bird stuff on the show, which is just, that's one of the reasons I watch it, is because I love the Philadelphia Eagle humor on that. But yeah, so doing the Fly Eagles Fly a little bit different this week, just because we're going into a bye week. But like I said last week, if they lost this game, we would probably riot. Well, we don't have to riot. We won pretty handily over the Jets. It was a little bit touch and go there in the beginning. But, you know, we had our Lord and Savior, Gardner Minshew, come into the game.
I mean,
I love this meme because it says Jesus' brother, Gardner Minshew, turns water into cold, gross light. And the truth is, looking at the picture, you know that's exactly what he would turn water into. Nothing else. But cold Coors Light is what Gardner Minshew is going to be giving us. And he gave us plenty of cold Coors Light on Sunday. He had a good game.
Yeah, man. It's man, the memes are crazy, man. The memes are crazy. But yeah, that's just how low the bar is for Gardner Minshew, man. The bar is low. You could play the Jets and magic, you know. But yeah, man, nah, he had a hell of a game. He did what he was supposed to do. He did what you would expect the backup to do against the Jets. You know, the Jets who like our defense, but for an entire game, they don't make any adjustments.
Right.
Really bad. I mean, we didn't get a touchdown in the second half, but it still wasn't. If anything, we just hoped our defense stepped up
right
a little bit, because, you know, we were going to continue to get points. But
yeah, exactly.
Get too ahead of the game, man. But yeah, man, overall, now he had a solid game, man. I'm glad for the Eagles win going into the bye week. It's always a good look, man. Always a good look.
Did you see the reaction that Minshew had after the game with his dad in the parking lot? Mm-mm. All right. Well, you're about to see it for the first time right here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. Gardner Minshew, the second, celebrating with Gardner Minshew, the first, after the game. Lady in the background,
sign this for the trips, Gardner. Sign it for the trips.
He's in the middle of a moment with his dad because he won his first game as an Eagle. Won one of his few wins in his career, for crying out loud.
Is his dad an Eagles fan?
Yes, actually, from what I understand, his dad was born in the Philly area. So this is this is like a homecoming for them. So they're and again, this is really tough. Because what we're going to be talking about today is not only the victory over the Jets, but this Minshew mania thing that's starting now over a win over the 32 ranked defense in the league, and now we've got a certain faction of fans who are saying that he needs to be the quarterback the rest of the way. And I titled this episode, "Let's Pump the Brakes, People." Let's just pump the brakes, because he had a good game, but there's a lot of these crazy intangible factors about him. His likability, what you saw right there with him, the moment afterward, the blue collar turning water into cold Coors Light. And mm-hmm. and now they reveal that while he's in Philadelphia, he's staying at Vince Papale's house.
Oh, yeah?
Invincible Vince Papale.
Yeah.
So he's apparently friends with Vince's son, and mm-hmm. so he's staying in the Papale household, or where Papale used to live. So, because I don't think he's living with Papale. I think he's like renting the house that they owned, or he's mm-hmm. buying it. I don't know. But yeah, so that's just another thing that just gives more fuel to this faction of fans. And I'm not going to say that Gardner Minshew's unlikable. He's a likable guy. He's a goofball, and he throws a good ball, and he's mobile, and that's good to have. But when we're talking about a chance to maybe get in the playoffs or building a team, it to be able to put the brakes on Hurts at this point in the season when he's had a good year, mm-hmm. it is a little bit ludicrous. I was glad that Nick Sirianni came out, before the game and then after the game, and said this makes no difference, But you have mm-hmm. to wonder, and I'm going to turn it over to you after this. But you have to wonder. He says that's coaches say that, and we know mm-hmm. that coming out of the bye, Jalen's going to get the start. But here's the problem: now that we've had this performance by Minshew and the big win over a really crappy team, I got to reiterate that. If Hurts struggles, and that little devil on the shoulder is going to be there in Sirianni's ear, mm-hmm. going, pull him, mm-hmm. sit him on the bench. Just going to happen.
Yeah. So I think, man, with the whole Minshew deal is, let's backtrack.
All right.
Before I make my point. This is the 1 year anniversary when basically we were playing the Green Bay Packers down 20-6. Mm-hmm. Couldn't move the ball. Jalen Hurts comes in, gives us a spark, right? The next week, they said, maybe let's try Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts beats a 10-2 Saints team. And then that's how you can get the hype behind the Jalen Hurts. I don't want to burn a lot of calories on Gardner Minshew. He's a backup quarterback. He did what he was supposed to do when a starting quarterback gets hurt. And I'm moving on from it. That's pretty much just it. He did what he was supposed to do. I didn't think, he was accurate, of course. But, if I'm being very objective about the entire game, we got a lot of key calls on third down that extended the drives. But outside of like the first 15 minutes, our offense, we had the ball. We didn't score any more touchdown. But as far as like the passing game, kind of like real hot in like that first quarter and a half.
Right.
But then for the rest of the game, wasn't really a whole lot. I mean, the touchdown passes, they were good, but they were a lot of underthrown balls. The one on Smith could have been picked. He had to kind of come back for that ball. We didn't throw the ball deep. I just think they said, hey, just go out and don't get hurt. We threw the ball, I think, more than 20 yards one time. He just did a whole bunch of things that Jalen Hurts isn't asked to do. That, vice versa. Like, don't get dirty. Walked out of there with a clean jersey. All the dropbacks were just regular dropbacks, couple play actions. But just looking at the game, it's definitely some fool goals. That Jets defense is really, really bad defense. On the Goddard touchdown, that ball was so on underthrown. Goddard had to run back 3 yards. That's just how bad. And one that we've been running that play all year, we've been getting the pick play. There have been touchdowns. Scott still picked them. And Goddard was, that's why Goddard is so wide open. He ran back 2 yards, grabbed the ball, boom. And then, but the rest were just passes to Goddard and dump offs. The mania is kind of crazy. Going into the fourth quarter, if we're looking at elevating our passing game, right? Because it's not about wins, because we've seen Jalen Hurts get 3 touchdowns in the first half. So we're not talking about scoring points. We've seen that. This Jets defense been giving up 45 points a game. We didn't get 45 points on them. But the whole point of it is that they dumped the ball down. Going into the fourth quarter, only 3 of our receivers still had a catch. 3 catches. It was like 2 to Watkins, 1 to Devontae Smith. So our passing game,
yeah, it looked good, you know, going to Goddard and dumping the ball off. I don't think it was actually elevated because we didn't throw the ball downfield, those deep shots that we're looking for. We did get the one to Goddard, you know, hell of a catch, you know, falling back. Minshew made a hell of a throw. It dropped right in there, and it's still in double coverage. Goddard's just bigger than everybody mm-hmm. on kind of both of them. They just kind of bounced off, and he walks that in. You know, so you have those moments, man. But going into the second half, when you have those, okay, this is the quarterback that we're playing. Let's make these adjustments. It was, you look like we had a backup quarterback pretty much after that first quarter and a half. So our run game still held. You had 120 yards from Sanders before he went out. He had about 20 carries. So mm-hmm. our run game was working, man. We were getting 8-9 yards a clip from the run game. I mean, look at the averaging 5 yards a carry. So we basically got that 20 completions, you know, same, you know, just no hurt. You know, I think we had about 70 yards in the second half passing. It was a good win. It was a solid win. It was an expected win. Yeah. And then, you know, no matter what, it's still like we down to the fourth quarter and we're like, damn, we can still lose this game. It's 9 minutes to go. We're still only up 12. And you're just like, damn, yeah. We should be up more than 12. So we talked previously, we was like, man, we can have we need a two-half offense. And I feel like something still drops off. Either like we have this incredible first half or we have this little bit of comeback of a second half. So that was just my little take on like kind of how the whole thing played out. You know, I thought we were very fortunate in a lot of situations, but you know, I thought I did what a backup quarterback should have did. And yeah. Well, it is what it is.
Well, yeah,
I'm happy about the window.
I agree with you to an extent. He had a couple of good passes that were clutch. I thought the pass to Goddard, yeah, the first touchdown was amazing. The second one, like mm-hmm. you said, was underthrown. The pass he had to Quez Watkins on the fourth down when he scrambled and rolled out, and it was nobody mm-hmm. there. He was right there. He, you know, granted, he was a little bit behind Quez, but that was maybe more than
most of the passes defense. Were.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, most of the passes
but
were live.
I thought. Well, yeah, that was the
pop.
The thing that I did see the pop, mm-hmm. but it was only in the short intermediate game. He threw the screens really well, like you said. He threw a mm-hmm. pass to Sanders once where Sanders was coming out of the backfield, and he hit him in stride perfectly, and it allowed mm-hmm. Sanders to go for nearly 15 yards.
I mean, that's the bar.
Catch and run.
Dump-off passes. Like, yeah. That's the bar.
And
we're talking about throwing the ball downfield. That's what I want to see.
Well, and that's
all of that stuff you can get from anybody. We didn't throw the ball downfield. Our receivers still weren't heavily involved in that game.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, if you look at the stats, that's what we got is we've got Goddard, mm-hmm. who had 105 yards, and most of that came in the first two drives and two right. touchdowns. And then we had Quez had 60 yards. Gainwell had 33, but that was mostly screens, 5 receptions. And you had Miles yeah. Sanders with 3 catches for 22 mm-hmm. against screens.
Yeah.
And Smith only had 2 catches for 15, and Jaeger with his usual 1 catch a game. And then, you know, his total, yeah. Minshew's total stat line is 20 of 25 for 242 mm-hmm. and 2 touchdowns. Yeah. The thing that people are going crazy about is he's had the highest quarterback rating since Nick Foles was there. And so people are chiming in on that. I said before last week during the preview, I don't care if this guy throws for 250 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's mm-hmm. why I set the bar. I hope that's what he did. That doesn't mean he unseats Hurts. And I think Nick Sirianni's thinking that. I think what we're talking about is the fan base, and we know what's going to happen, is if Hurts comes out and struggles against Washington in 2 weeks,
right.
them saying that that Minshew needs to be the starter. And I still say no. Mm-hmm. I say the only way Minshew yeah. needs to play any games is the same way when Carson Wentz went down and Foles came in the first time. Hurts has to be hurt, seriously hurt, and right. can't go. I think that any other reason to unseat Jalen at this point mm-hmm. in the season with 4 games to go yeah. is crazy. And it's funny you brought up the game last year with New Orleans and that same thing happened. So it kind of made me think when I started seeing the mania. And I'm like, I'm not on the Minshew mania train. I like him.
Yeah.
Want to see him do well.
Just, yeah, I like Minshew
just
too.
Whatever.
I'm just being objective. I'm not.
Exactly.
I'm just not a.
Yeah.
I'm just not a fanboy.
Exactly.
I'm just really objective about my Eagles all the time.
But the funny thing that you said that made me laugh was I started thinking about it. It was like, Jalen now knows how the other woman feels. Because he was the other woman last year when he came in and stole the team away from Carson mm-hmm. Wentz with a good performance.
Man, I disagree.
The reason I say that is because he's getting the same type of treatment that, because honestly, it was a new toy last year to me when Wentz was benched. It was, and I'm not maybe talking about so much from the fans. I'm talking about from management. Because we heard this week going into this game that Howie Roseman is down on Jalen Hurts, but Jeffrey Lurie is up, so they're conflicted. Mm-hmm. To me, it's that other woman's shiny toy syndrome. And I don't know if I think I would put this on Howie. He can't seem to settle. So like I said, he was down on Wentz. He throws Hurts. He drafts Hurts to supplant him because he's worried about Wentz's injuries. Puts him in the game and gives the team to Hurts. And now he's doing the same thing all over again with Minshew. Now, I don't think that Howie thinks that Minshew's the long-term solution. I just don't think he believes Hurts is.
Yeah, this isn't, to me, remotely close to the same situation. And just here's why. If you are an Eagles fan and you believe that Gardner Minshew should be the starting quarterback, you just don't like Jalen Hurts. This has nothing to do with Gardner Minshew. Just put that to the side. That's just, it's just, and you'll see it too, like out in the media. I mean, you'll just see. I mean, look at it. You know, you can have Gardner Minshew. You know, the spirit comes behind, you know, it being an entertainment too. Football is still a bit of entertainment, so people love that entertainment factor. But I'm an Eagles fan. I just want to win. Mm-hmm. And if I feel like this situation is so much different because we drafted Jalen Hurts and we were kind of like, damn. So when you draft a player in the second round, you almost have to play him. When you trade for a backup quarterback that went 1-7 last year, you don't have to play him. We already know what he is. But when you're a rookie and you haven't played yet, then yes, we need to get you in here because we need to see why we spent a second round pick on this player. If you're Gardner Minshew, this is just a perfect storm for you. You get you debut against the Jets. Jalen Hurts debuts against the 10-2 Saints. Still wasn't the full – Jalen Hurts didn't get full support after that. It was kind of like, ooh, we may have something here. And then it kind of went on towards the end of the season, and then they go ahead and bench him. The reason why I can't spend that many calories on Gardner Minshew is because he doesn't deserve it. You know, so what, you came in and beat the Jets? I don't really care. I don't. So what, you have people that like you outside of football? I don't care about football. I only care about what you do on the field. I don't care. You're not going to see me with your jorts on, with your fake. I don't like that's. Oh, yeah. I want to win football games,
right?
Because I'm that's what that fan base really believes in. So that's what makes the Gardner Minshew thing so toxic, because it makes our fan base very disingenuous about winning. You will surely see why Gardner Minshew went 1-7 next year when we get into the playoffs. So it's almost like we'll laugh now, and then we'll be like, jeez, when he's thrown, however many picks or these wild passes, and like I said, it was glimpses of it in that second half. That first half, he looked really prepared. They had that, Greg, I talk about it every week, the game script, the script, those first 15 scripted plays, they should look good.
Right.
They should look good. They've been heavily drilled. He took the majority of the snaps this week in Philly. But here's where I say all that to say this, what I don't want to happen is we start Gardner Minshew. Like I said, I just want to win. I don't really care who's the quarterback. We start Gardner Minshew, right? Now Jalen Hurts is disgruntled. What you also do is split the locker room up. Mm-hmm. You don't think Jalen Hurts has allies on that team? You don't think he has guys that want to go to war with him?
Right.
So now you're going to split this locker room, and who are you going to split it for? For Gardner Minshew? I'm not splitting my locker room up for Gardner Minshew. I'll probably split it up for a 6'6 quarter Gardner Minshew, but not a 5'11, 6', squirrely, kind of very unpredictable. We only asked him to throw the ball 5 yards, a couple passes to Goddard. Don't get me wrong. But, not asked to really do a whole lot. And like I said, if he'd have came out and, to me, the biggest improvement would have been if Devontae Smith or Jalen Reagor had a hell of a game. Those would have been litmus tests to me to see if Gardner Minshew was a different. Throwing the ball to Goddard and dumping it off the game, well, I mean, come on.
I'm so with what? You. I'm with you.
So what? So what?
I'm with you. And that's the whole reason. I'm behind you. What I'm throwing out there is I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No,
because we know this is coming and we're going to have to deal with this as fans, because here's the big thing is that the next two games coming out of the bye are home games. And if Hurts struggles, and it's going to make me, it's going to tick me off if Hurts struggles and the fans start to boo him, because that's just going to make things worse. And And a lot of times the struggles that Hurts has had, and we've talked about this during the game, he can be inconsistent as a passer. And what really is bad that it's coming off that really bad game against a bad team in the Giants where he throws the three picks. So it's all bad timing. If he comes out and he starts throwing picks against Washington, part of that to me is the offensive game planning too that lead to that. Because we know that the Giants bumped a lot of the receivers off the ball. He threw into traffic. You got to work with him better. He needs better support as far as a better game plan. We know what he can do. So start designing better plays that fit into into Hurts' game. So we don't want to get too deep into that. Don't even really.
But I agree, though. To your point. Remember, I've been saying this all year. Mm-hmm. How can you expect the quarterback? To me, that's just so uncomparable because I would rather, hear me out on this, I would rather have Jalen Hurts have a game where he has less than five rushes and then judge him as a quarterback versus having to run the ball 20 times and then judge him against a quarterback that's not even out there to even get hurt. I mean, it's just kind of like boop, 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 quick passes here, there, jumping them off here and there. I think that's why I'm holding so firm to the hill that I'm dying on it's to your point, as far as the play calling is, take those RPOs out. We've been saying it all year.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. You know,
just designated runs. How many times have we said designated runs?
Exactly.
So why can't Jalen Hurts get designated runs to his running back and just designated passes? Why can't we have that same scheme? And then if he doesn't do it, if you just go, nah, Jay, we're not calling designated runs for you.
Right.
You need to pass the ball. And then he can't pass the ball, then you have to move on from him. But I'd be, you know, it's just crazy to even fathom.
Right.
The load that he's having to carry with literally carrying the ball, you know, just getting those hits, man. I mean, you could have a mild concussion mid-game from all those carries,
right?
You know, so I just think I think if we're going to move on from him as a passer, we need to slow down on his running and just make him run when he needs to. I'm gonna make this one last point: Alabama game this weekend. The play calls that they have for Royce Young. You notice how it's not a lot of designated runs. He runs if he needs to.
Right.
And I guess that's what I'm saying. Forget the designated runs. If Hurts can't pass the ball, then make him prove that he can pass the ball by stop calling the designated runs. But you can't call 15 runs from him and expect him to be a very accurate pocket passer because it's just too different. You haven't even do too much. And I thought they simplified the game plan for Minshew this weekend. And that's all I'm saying. That's what you want to do for a young quarterback, but you do that for a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
It was just weird to see.
And we knew they would. And so we got a week off to get Hurts healthy. And we also got to get a couple other players healthy because we know that Miles Sanders went down with an ankle. Jason Kelce had a knee injury. So those are two big losses that we got to hope can convalesce and get back in the game. We hoping to get Brandon Brooks back for the Washington game. So let's see how things go going forward because we know they're giving the ball back to Hurts. So we don't really have to talk about Minshew until it comes back up again. But, yeah, we both feel the same way on this, is that Minshew mania, great, whatever, but it isn't reality where we're at in this point in the season with this particular team. What I do want to talk about real quick, though, that I is a concern for me going forward. We've got four games left to maybe make a playoff push. Mm-hmm. And it was the way the defense played in the first half. Now, I'm glad they came back in the second half and shut it down. But this Gannon thing where he loves playing prevent the whole freaking game is driving me up the wall. He gave up on the first three drives to the Jets, made Zach Wilson look like an MVP candidate, which we do to all bad quarterbacks. I think I saw that Zach Wilson was 10 of 13 after the first three drives and was at 105 yards, 103 yards, and three touchdowns, one running, two passing. The total, the Jets had 18 points only because their field goal kicker missed two extra points, and then they went for two and didn't get it. But they netted 18 points, 164 yards, and 12 first downs on their first three drives. But I will give the defense credit after that 18-point went up. They only allowed 69 yards and six first downs on the next five drives. So kudos to the defense. And we did see them start to get more aggressive. The first three drives, they were like little kitty cats. It was like I talked about last week, the Jekyll and Hyde thing. They came out as Mike Meek and my old Dr. Jekyll. They were backed up, weren't playing aggressive defense, weren't getting pressure to Zach Wilson. But by the end, We saw Hargrave and Sweat particularly. Not only were they getting some sacks, they were getting in Wilson's face. And like you pointed out, where the game was still in question there in the fourth quarter, it was a pressure from Josh Sweat and Hargrave as well that caused a massive overthrow by Wilson right into the hands of Epps that really stopped them from any chance that they would have had of making it a game. And that all came from that defensive line and the aggressive play that Gannon did. But it worries me going forward because I still believe Gannon thinks that prevent zone, because in that first quarter and quarter and a half going into the halftime, there was some wide open jet receiver. Elijah Moore was open almost every play. And if it wasn't for Zach Wilson, and it cracked me up how so many of the people talk about afterwards, well, Zach Wilson finally had a game. This guy's thrown, what, four touchdowns all season. He gets three against a defense that plays zone all the time. And all of a sudden he's the guy we drafted. No, you've got to put it
basically
in context.
Basically my point about Minshew. But
exactly. It's the same thing. Both quarterbacks were getting the benefit of bad defense in that first half. Right. And then the game kind of settled in, and it was a lot of field goals from us. It's exactly what I'm saying. Zach Wilson did not do anything to impress. And in fact, I watched the game over today. He was throwing behind his receivers. It was just that they were wide open because the Eagles are playing this stand in your spot zone. And that one play, there was one play to Elijah Moore that was like 20 plus yards. He was just standing there. And there was four wide Eagles open around him, and there was nowhere they were going to make a play on that ball. No one. So, yeah, I could pass into that. There's a lot of people who could. So I think the Jets are going
to text you on that too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that was what worried me. The game as a whole was good to watch once they got that sorted, because I know that I was texting you. I'm like, if they don't start getting some stops, and as soon as I really started to get nervous was when the stops came. And I just, that to me, coming out of this bye, if they don't do a lot of game film and realize that Heinicke is going to light you up if you play him that way, if you don't get in his face, then, because right now, let's face it, Washington is our primary competition to try to get into the playoffs. And we got two games against him. We got to win both of them. And we can't let him stand in the pocket and have time to throw and play in zone, leaving receivers wide open. It just ain't going to work. So, one more thing I'm going to say on the Gardner Minshew, and then we'll move on. It's only because it is our segment for this week. It is the
Hell to the No, to the No, 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 No. Hell, No, No, to the No, No. Hell to the No, No. To the No, No, No,
No. So our Hell to the No segment this week is, again, Shady McCoy throwing shade, which is what he seems to be doing. I don't know if he's doing this for fun or if he's just off his rocker a little bit. But he tweeted out, congrats to Gardner Minshew, my Eagles getting to it today. Accurate quarterback play. Now, I don't know if he put the pictures in here because I pulled this off of Twitter, but I don't think it was his feed. But so you got the comparison between the two. And if he did put the two pictures up, then that's even worse. But the fact that he had to point out that we got accurate quarterback play, it's a silly thing. That's a hell to the gnaw right there. What are you doing, dude? I mean, you played for the Eagles. You know what the fan base is like. Why are you throwing? He's not just throwing gas on the fire. He's like pouring a diesel truck, you know, backing it up and just pouring it on the link and then lighting a match. What's he doing?
You know, don't nobody care what Shady got to say. He's Shady for a reason. They call him Shady for a reason. He's the president of the Player Haters Ball.
It might be different. It might be different if it was Manag, if McNabb was saying that.
Here is the thing. All the comparisons are fair to Jalen Hurts. He has been inaccurate. He has been under 50% games. You look back at the last few podcasts, you know, you'll see, you know, one more yards in the first half. But it's very different from wanting a better quarterback and wanting Gardner Minshew as your quarterback. And that's all I'm like, whoa. Because what I don't want to happen is this, man. Shady's right. He was accurate that day. The offense looked good in the first half. They moved down the field, matriculate the ball down the field just fine. Run game looked great. 120 from Sanders. Ooh,
and he got injured. He probably had a buck 50 that day. The run game just looked kudos to first of all, shoot, we didn't even give out Miles Sanders, man. Kudos to Miles Sanders. Kudos to Gainwell. Gainwell had a hell of a game. Five catches.
That touchdown run.
He had about five catches. What?
Yeah, five catches. But that touchdown run in the first half was a thing of beauty.
That first half run, that is like 16, 18 yards or so. Just a blimp. This is why I want him on special teams.
I know.
And why we're on special teams.
Let's hit it up.
How much have I talked about special teams? Am I the only person to talk? Look, Rager.
Oh, my God.
I'm yelling this from the rooftop. The guy on this hill, too. He special teams. It's like we're just overlooking. Like, it's not really a part of the game. Like, long as he catches it, no. You see what happened the first play of the game with what's old boy from the Jets?
Berrios.
Got a real smooth name. Berrios.
Yeah, the 73-yarder right off the bat. And actually put the Eagles on behind the eight ball because they scored a touchdown right off the bat. And now we're on our heels.
Because special teams are important.
Exactly.
You can't just keep – and then we – and Rager – I mean, Rager came out back-to-back, two bad plays. Oh, and I'm thinking to myself, like
– did you see –
there's so many little facets of the game that we overlook.
Yeah.
That we can improve on besides the quarterback position. And it's things like – it's the little – we have an incredible punter. We have, to me, one of the best kickers in the league. He's on a 15-game streak.
That's another one. More kudos.
You know, Elliott
had a great day.
Elliott is our unsung hero right now, man. He has been holding it down. And we haven't – because, you know, again, we've had a lot of second halves where we just slow down, especially if we had a lead. Elliott comes out, you know, and he's been doing a hell of a job, man. But, so maybe we look at the special teams coach in general. So you're putting Rager out there. We're not getting points. And then you let Berrios almost run it back on you. Maybe it's the special teams coach. I should have researched before I got on here today. Sorry. I should have been more accurate.
It's okay. But you know what? You're right. Here's the thing. We've been saying it all year. First of all, we know Rager can't do anything on offense. Even when they try to get him these little screens and reverses, he has no speed. This guy, we drafted him for speed. We drafted him for elusiveness. Right. And he is about as fast as a skateboard going through sand. That's about as fast as he is right now. It's crazy. And so he's a bust. But yet we still got him returning kicks. Now, I did notice that Scott actually got a kick return in there too, but I don't know if that was just why that was. But he's been out there on both kickoff and punt returns. He does absolutely nothing. Did you see the play where he batted the ball out of midair while he was trying to tell people to get away from it? Now, he did pick it up and run it for about 15 yards, and that was luck.
Best play yet all year.
He's waving his hands and bats the ball as it comes down, as he's running away from it, and then he has to pick it up and run with it. And that's the kind of guy we're dealing with. We're dealing with this when he makes a fair catch on the 3-yard line. You got to let that ball go in the end zone. Dude, what are you doing? Everybody sees it. And it's like, how long do we keep going letting this guy hurt us? Because if we had that guy, the Cordell Patterson type guy, who's the guy right now, you know, who was the guy from the Bears? Guys, it's escaping me right now. That was so good. Hall of Famer.
You talking about GOAT.
Man,
Devin Hester.
There you go, Hester. So now, I'm not looking for a Devin Hester. I'm not looking for Devin Hester. But I'm looking for somewhere in between. Definitely not Rager, but you're right. That hurt our game.
Hey, you know, we didn't even have to go there. We're not even looking for DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson was a hell of a return man. Mm-hmm. From college all the way to – he brought that Giants game in particular. I was in England.
Yeah.
Oh, I would never forget that. But anyway, he was sitting there chilling, watching the game, and they was like, man, sorry, the game over. And he kicked it to DeSean Jackson. And, Nelly. But anyway.
Well, yeah, so but that's a good point, because actually they showed those highlights because it was the Giant game. They always show that highlight, the miracle at the Meadowlands part two. And so, yeah, we don't have that guy. We don't have a guy that's even close to that right now. But you're right, Gainwell could very well be that guy if we would give him a chance. I don't know if he returns kicks or whatever.
Right.
But
maybe
we could just have Rager catch it and then hand the ball to Gainwell.
And around every play.
I don't know, but something's got to change. You're right. That's a big part of the game
too, man.
If we're going to do anything. So, you know, it was overall the game, like I said, that was a highlight. was the Elliott's play, because without those field goals, even though I don't like settling for field goals, it was definitely saved us in the second half to get those 9 points. It was much needed, and the defense did step up, play a lot more aggressively in the second half, and shut them down, like 6 first downs after they had the first 12 first downs in the game. So it, overall satisfied. We knew we had to have it was a must win. You couldn't lose to the Jets, not the worst ranked defense. You had to build their spirit going into the bye and then come out of it. So let's look real quick at what we got. What you got?
I thought of something, man.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine the panic if we would have lost to the Jets with Gardner Minshew?
Oh, Lord.
Eagles fans would have felt like they have nowhere to go.
Oh. I don't even want to think about it.
I just thought of a worse thought. Jeez,
the last episode was if we lose, we riot. And that's how I really felt that they would do. Maybe not physically, but the fan base would have imploded. It would have been a bad situation. Now, what we've got is coming up. We've got this is it, man. We got the bye week, and which is finally, thank God, because this team needs the rest, especially like we said, with Miles Sanders being the workhorse. And I did want to say one thing about the run game. You are exactly right. What they do against the Giants was they abandoned the run when it struggled early, and it hurt them against the Giants. Against the Jets, I will give Sirianni credit. He learned from that. And that's all I ask, because the run game struggled in the first quarter a little bit. And so that's when Minshew was kind of bailing him out with the little screens. But he never stopped feeding Sanders the ball, and he was getting these tough 3 or 4 yard carries every down, and then finally broke one in the fourth quarter right before he got hurt. He had that huge run that put the Jets, it just broke their backs every time he was carrying the ball in Gainwell too. So I will give him credit on that. But we get this bye, and we got to get Sanders healthy. We get Jordan Howard back. Hopefully Kelsey's healthy. Dickerson is a little bit banged up. We got Jack Driscoll's gone, and we definitely don't want Herbig in there anymore. My gosh, man. That guy, coming in for Kelsey after he got hurt. We have to have Kelsey in there. So we need to get our offensive line healthy for these four games, because it's all division opponents, and it all leads in. This is, if you look ahead, if you look at where the playoffs picture is right now, the Eagles are sitting right there at eighth position at 6-7, behind two. Now, the Rams probably won't get caught. Who knows? But they probably won't. Behind 2 6-6 teams. And you look at the Washington team right here in that sixth spot. We got 2 games with them. The way I see it, if the Eagles win out, and they very well could, and I'm not saying they're going to beat Dallas. I'm just saying that's part of the – if they win out, they got these 2 games against Washington. Almost back to back. You got Washington, the Giants, and then Washington again. You win those 3, you're probably going to get in, because that would leave the Eagles at 9-7 going into the Cowboys game, and 9-8 could get you that last wild card spot. If you beat the Cowboys, I think you're definitely in. If they go 10-7, they're in. So these games are so important. It sets them up right now. It all depends. It all depends on how they come out of this bye, whether they're healthy and ready to go, and what the game plan is, and how are they going to attack these games. And what's great is these first 2, the Washington Giants, are at home. Now, granted, we only have 1 win at home all season, and that was New Orleans. We got 1. But maybe that's what we need, a couple more home wins. We need to get them ready to go. So I think it's all to play for right now.
And with Washington winning, 4 straight? Man, they are, man. And they've just been winning games. Ugly. It don't matter how they win them. They just win them.
Oh, exactly.
And them beating the Raiders.
Right.
When we couldn't even stop them. When we thought that was Derek Carr's Hall of Fame induction game. And they shut them down, man. This is all without their star guy, Chase Young, too. So, very interesting, man. They're not going to overwhelm you, but they win games.
Well, here's the thing is I know that what I just said is true, is that we win these games we're in, and that's a given. But yeah, you've made a great point. If you look at who they beat over this 4 game, now they had lost 4 straight going into this 4 game, where they won 4 in a row. Mm-hmm. But the teams they beat was Tampa Bay 29-19, Carolina, who we also beat, 27-21. Seattle in a close game, 17-15. Seattle's struggling. And then they beat Las Vegas 17-15, but again, we struggled with Las Vegas. So they are playing really good defensive ball right now. They're dangerous, even without Chase Young. Gibson is running the ball really, really well. McLaurin is a star receiver. I know, because I got them both on my fantasy team. So it is definitely going to be a challenge. It's an uphill battle. It's something that we're going to have to prepare for, but it's not a given. And we're going to preview those games when we come back out of this bye, detail. But just to give you a taste of where we're at as a fan base, it's there. I mean, they're in position. And if you'd have told me at the beginning of the season when there were a lot of unknowns where we were going to be at after the Jets game going into the bye, I'd have been happy to be. Hey, if we went out, we're in the playoffs. If we went out against our division, but. Mm-hmm. Whether that's because I don't think we have a shot at the division. Dallas would have to completely implode at this point. I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, it's possible. They handled the Saints pretty well, but so did we. So I actually, when I look now at where we're at as far as teams, I see that Dallas game is going to be a lot closer than the one in Dallas. I think that this one, and again, we pointed out, mm-hmm. three of the last four games at home coming out of a bye. All four of them on the East Coast within a radius of each other that, I mean, it all plays to the Eagles' advantage.
No excuses.
So, and of course, Washington has to play Dallas this week, so that's going to make a big difference in their record. So it's there's a lot left on the table if they just
look like Washington hasn't had their bye week either, right? They're 6-6. We're 6-7. Oh, no, they had their bye.
They did. They did.
That's why they are 6-6.
Right.
Get that backwards.
They did. They actually had their four-game losing streak. They lost to New Orleans, who we beat. They lost to Kansas City, who we lost to. They lost to Green Bay, and then they lost to Denver, who we beat. Then they had their bye, and then came out of their bye like a mad bull and just ripping through Tampa Bay was impressive. So, absolutely. So. You know, it's going to be interesting. Let's just say that.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be fun. But, yeah, so we beat the Jets, and it's all good. But, hey, we got a lot to play for coming up. And, you know, we're going to be here. But not for another week, because we're going to take this week off. We got no game. So we got nothing to preview later on this week. Got no game to recap. So we're going to have to hold on to your fantasy results. And kind of go over those when we come back, because we'll be back to cover the preview of the Washington game a week from Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be back on the air and we'll see how that goes. And then we'll talk about your fantasy and my picks game. I don't even know how I did in picks this week. I don't look.
Football was terrible this week.
It's always terrible for me. I lost both my games again. So I'm just not. I stopped looking.
Yeah, man.
Any big plans for the week off?
I'm going to ride this wave of this Minshew hype. I will say this, Eagles fans, caution. You can want a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts, but be careful for wishing that Gardner Minshew is your quarterback. We may find ourselves right back in the same position next year, using one of those draft picks that we got for Wentz on another quarterback, because Hurts wouldn't want to play there. So be calm. It's good vibes. We on the playoff bubble. We're in the playoffs right now.
Are we?
We're the 17. We're eighth now? What happened?
San Francisco won. So they're 6-6. So.
Gotcha.
It is what it is. Right. But like I said, if we beat Washington, we're in. We just got to keep winning.
Yeah. Keep winning.
And that's the thing, is we got all division opponents coming up. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. I hope it's fun.
Yes, sir.
We'll have fun no matter what. So we'll be back in about a week to preview the Washington game. Until then, I am Lee, and this is Tubby with his final words.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. Have a good week, everybody.